endless men whose age will be not to defend some ancient creed, but to live out the laws of Christ in every thought and word and deed. God send us men alert and quick, His lofty precepts to translate, until the laws of Christ become the laws and habits of the state.
Welcome to God Send Us Men Ministries with evangelist and missionary to America, Charlie Stewart. We challenge you to open your Bible and follow along with today's message. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. To contact us or read and listen to more teachings online for free, visit GodSendUsMen.com. And now, here is evangelist and missionary to America, Charlie Stewart.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for tuning into the message this morning. Please remember those who are on the prayer request page on the website. Doug sent an email this week, and he said he finally got a new leg that fits. I can't imagine, but I'm very happy for that. But he's still battling the seizures, and he's trying all that he can to fight this without drugs. So please pray that he will be able to find the right remedy. Before we get started, let me say this. No one speaks for me. No one speaks for what I believe or what I teach. If anyone has questions about what I believe or teach, they should contact me directly. Look, I'm not hard to get a hold of. You know, I told you a while back that there were some men who used to listen to me regularly and even contribute to the ministry. And they left the faith for the anti-Paul lies. And I told you then that the anti-Paul crowd was just a hop, skip, and a jump away from being anti-Christ, then being full-blown atheist. And at least one of those men made some posts on Facebook this week that verifies what I said. And then it was reported to me that someone on Facebook asked, "Is this what Charlie believes too?" Well, that's a bit aggravating to say the least, especially from grown men. Okay, if you want to know what Charlie believes, then either listen to the messages that are freely put online or contact me directly. You know, I know that there are people out there who just hope that I fall for some heresy so they can say, "See, I told you so. All that talk about exclusively following God and following the God of the Bible and not following the world, that was just meaningless." Well, sorry to disappoint. For those who are looking for excuses not to leave the world and follow Christ, you aren't getting one from me. Last week's message, we talked about how people who do not understand what the biblical definition of government is miss the proper understanding because their minds, are possessed with an evil spirit. We're not talking about The Exorcist. We're not talking about Amityville. We're talking about anything that opposes the God of the Bible is evil. And not understanding biblical godly government is evil. And it's a system of belief, an attitude, an air, A-I-R, a spirit that is evil. It's not of God. It's evil. It's actually very simple. It's so simple that that might be why so many people miss it. The Bible says that government is to punish evil and praise good. That's it. It's that simple. No amount of screaming, no amount of yelling, no amount of force, not guns, not bombs, not bullets, not jails, prisons, or handcuffs can change the fact that God said. God said. God said that government is for two purposes only, and that is to punish evil and to praise good. And now here's the most pivotal understanding in the simplicity of the way God said things are to be. This is simple, simple, simple. God defines what is evil, and God defines what is good. Man is not allowed to make his own definitions of evil or his own definitions of good. And in the day that men take it upon themselves to make their own definitions of good and evil, that is the day men die. Amazing that such a profound, simple Bible truth has been missed by pretty much every person alive in our world today. And that is because, just like it was in the days of the book of Revelation, Revelation 18:23, "And the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee, and the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth, for by thy sorceries were all nations deceived." And in Revelation 12:9, "And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." It is apparently no great mystery for the whole world to be deceived. In our lifetime alone, we've seen the great deception of the globe. We've seen the great deception of the world's account of creation. Evolution. We've seen great deceptions in their history books. Okay, we've seen the whole world deceived by fake attacks such as the sinking of the Maine. Lies about Pearl Harbor. Lies about this attack and that attack. False flags everywhere. Creating wars for the purpose of moving entire civilizations into systems of more and more control, more oppression, more tyranny, loss of freedom. For instance, prior to what they called World War I, you didn't have passports and IDs the way it is today. People freely traveled, for the most part, on God's earth without intervention. But show me your papers. Really? Show a piece of paper in order to simply move from one piece of ground to the next? I mean, that is absurd. So you go to such wicked, demonic steps as to create wars for the purpose of taking more control over the common man, and people have the gall, the unmitigated gall, to call these entities, quote, government. Truly, yes, people that believe that what controls the world is called, quote, government, and even worse, to say that God has ordained it, that God has approved it. They are absolutely demon-possessed, possessed by the spirits of devils and satans. If people believe that what the world calls, quote, government today is God-ordained. Lies about 9/11. And most of the world, not thankfully not all, but most of the world believed it. Lies about COVID. Most of the world believed all those lies and still do. Even after the kingdoms of the world were exposed in so many ways, people, and I'd say most people, still believe that whole deception. We're seeing a massive deception today with, quote, space travel. People actually believe that stuff. You can barely see a 747 flying at 7 miles high, but you can see the, quote, International Space Station, same size as a 747, and it's supposedly 250 miles high. I've told you this many times before. I've been in solar for almost 20 years. I was doing solar long before it was cool to do solar. And you are not going to power all of the things that they claim the International Space Station is supposedly doing with solar panels and batteries. It is not physically possible to do so. They are lying. They've been lying about nearly every single thing in life, and people still have the audacity to refer to these liars as, quote, government. And worse than that, as government that is supposedly ordained of God, and people are to obey no matter what. To believe that, to live according to that way of thinking, can only happen when a man's mind, his thoughts, his belief system, is that of demons and devils and not of God. I had someone start telling me the other day how evil and bad AI is. Okay, it's so wicked. It's so demonic. On and on and on. And then inside their garage was Trump Vance posters and pictures of Trump and his third wife or however many, Melania. I took literally 5 seconds and typed in on my phone, Trump and AI. And from the White House website, headline, Artificial Intelligence for the American People. The age of artificial intelligence, AI, has arrived and is transforming everything from healthcare to transportation to manufacturing. America has long been the global leader in this new era of AI and is poised to maintain this leadership going forward because of our strong innovation ecosystem. Realizing the full potential of AI for the nation requires the combined efforts of industry, academia, and government. The administration has been at the Trump, they left that, the Trump administration has been active in developing policies and implementing strategies that accelerate AI innovation in the U.S. for the benefit of the American people. Yeah, right. These activities align with several areas of emphasis: AI for American innovation, AI for American industry, AI for the American worker, and AI with American values. Oh boy! The AI.gov website provides a portal for exploring these activities in more depth and serves as a resource for those who want to learn more about how to take full advantage of the opportunities of AI. And then skipping down a little bit further to the, quote, executive order. The Trump administration is committed to strengthening American leadership in artificial intelligence, AI. Recognizing the strategic importance of AI to the nation's full future economy and security, the Trump administration established the American AI Initiative via Executive Order 13859. Listen, in February 2019, this initiative identified five key lines of effort, including increasing AI research investment, unleashing, because it's a wild beast, unleashing federal AI computing and data resources, setting AI technical standards, building America's AI workforce, and engaging with international allies. These lines of effort were codified into law as part of the National AI Initiative Act of 2020, which continued through Biden, which then continued the way for Trump now to accelerate and do even more. In historic actions, the administration committed to doubling AI research investment, established the first ever national AI research institutes, issued a plan for AI technical standards, released the world's first AI regulatory guidance, forged new international AI alliances, and established guidance for federal use of AI. To oversee and implement the U.S. National AI Strategy, the White House established the National Artificial Intelligence Initiative Office in early January 2021, in accordance with the National AI Initiative Act of 2020. This office serves as the central hub for federal coordination and collaboration in AI research and policymaking across the government, as well as with private sector, academia, and other stakeholders. Through these actions of the Trump administration, together with the unparalleled enthusiasm and activity of the private sector and academia, the United States remains the world leader, of course, in artificial intelligence, end quote. My question is, how can someone say how evil, how wicked, how demonic AI is, and then talk about how great Trump is? You set up shrines in your home to Trump and Melania. I wonder if these people have the naked pictures of Melania in their homes too. Why not? I'm just amazed how in your face the kingdoms of the world are, and still so few people seem to get it. Listen to this headline. This was in Fortune magazine this month. This month, what they call May 2025, quote, U.S. Secretary of Commerce says the new model is factory jobs for life for you, your kids, and your grandkids. U.S. Secretary of Commerce Howard Lutnick, also appointed by Trump, of course, says factory gigs are the great jobs of the future that Gen Z could work in for the rest of their life, and so could their grandkids. But the workforce's youngest cohort probably won't be running to fill the roles. Some white-collar workers may be on the brink of layoffs thanks to AI. But the Secretary of Commerce says they will always have a place in America's factories as the U.S. puts up high tariffs and curbs immigration. The administration hopes to fuel an intergenerational manufacturing boom. It's time to train people not to do the jobs of the past, but to do the great jobs of the future, Howard Lutnick told CNBC this week. This is the new model, where you work in these plants for the rest of your life, and your kids work here, and your grandkids work here, end quote. Are you serious? Either the, quote, government types, the demons and devils who fill the positions in the kingdoms of the world, are incredibly stupid, Or they just know that the people who believe in the kingdoms of the world are even stupider. The man just laid out what used to be American slavery. The man said for the whole world to see that corporations, factories, and what used to be called plantations, the plantations had families, parents, kids, and grandkids, and they lived and stayed and worked on the plantations for the rest of their lives. The man had the nerve to say that the new model for Americans is a plantation. People to them are slaves. Do they have to say, "You are our slaves," before people can read the writing on the wall? Okay. Why is it that every city in America is exploding with apartment buildings? Do they know something that the rest of us don't? Why is that? It's because the people that run the kingdoms of the world said that by the year 2030, people will own nothing and be happy. They want people to live in places where they do not need to travel more than 15 minutes from their apartments. When I talk to people about the explosion of the apartment buildings everywhere, the first obvious question is, where will all the people come from to live in the apartments? Well, I think the answer is pretty simple, at least when you pay attention to what's going on around us. All these people out there who think that Trump is so great, and the man allies himself with such demon-possessed people like Elon Musk. Well, here's what we know about Musk, or one of the many things that we know about Musk. Quote, Elon Musk has expressed support for the concept of universal basic income, UBI, particularly in the context of potential widespread job displacement, due to artificial intelligence and automation. He envisions a future where AI and robots perform most of human labor, leading to a potential surplus of goods and services, and suggests that UBI could be necessary to provide a safety net and ensure a basic standard of living for everyone. Musk has even gone further, suggesting that the abundance created by AI could lead to a universal high income rather than just a basic one. End quote. What absolute idiots. It's very interesting. Basic universal income. In other words, the quote government supposedly pays everyone an amount of quote money for nothing. Yeah, right, for nothing. Could basic universal income mean free housing in all these apartments that are exploding all over the place? Sure, I can see most of the people in this society jumping on the idea of free housing. But, you know, there will be strings. There's always strings. 15-minute cities, 15-minute life for basic universal income. Here's a more detailed breakdown. AI and job displacement. Musk believes that advances in AI and automation will eventually make many human jobs obsolete, particularly in physical and manual labor. Well, he's an idiot if he thinks that. UBI as a solution. He sees UBI as a potential solution to address the unemployment, and I need to quit saying UBI. Call it what it is. Universal basic income. Just another massive giant welfare system as a potential solution to address the unemployment and economic hardship that could result from widespread job displacement caused by AI. Universal high income. Musk has also proposed that the increased productivity generated by AI could lead to a situation where everyone has access to a high level of income, not just a basic one. Focus on meaning and purpose. He acknowledges that the shift to an AI-powered economy raises questions about the meaning of human life when machines can perform most tasks. Well, machines can't perform most tasks, suggesting that humans may need to find meaning and guidance in giving purpose to AI. Wow. Historical context. It's worth noting that the idea of UBI has been around for a long time, predating Musk's advocacy according to the MIT Press Reader. While it's not yet a mainstream policy in most countries, there have been numerous pilot programs and discussions about its potential impact, end quote. Yeah, it's because it's all an attack on the Creator, attack on God Himself. It is God who said, 6 days shall a man work. And now these people come along and say, oh, you don't have to work. Robots and machines and all that are going to do it for you. And it's going to cause your life to flourish. And you're going to get basic income. Oh, universal high income. Wow. These are some of the things that nearly every single person in the world today believes is the responsibility of, quote, government. And who pushes it on most of the people? Quote, churches. The quote, churchmen have lied and defrauded the people into believing that all of that is God-ordained, quote, government, and people are commanded by God to obey or die. Well, friends, I'm telling you, that is what it means to be possessed by devils, to be possessed by demons and Satans. The kingdoms of the world, the kingdoms of men are operated by the exact same spirit, the exact same tradition, the exact same mindset of the devil, Satan, the dragon, the old serpent, as is described in our Bibles. The kingdoms of the world, the kingdoms of men are not God ordained. They are in place to war against the kingdom government of God, and to war against any man, woman, boy, or girl that desires to follow Christ and to live in His government. The only way people cannot see these simple truths is that they are possessed with the spirit, the beliefs, the way of thinking, which controls the way of living, as devils and Satans. As we've done in most of the messages in this series, I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 4. And let's read the first several verses, and then we'll move on from there. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him and said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. To me, in my admittedly simplistic way of thinking, I just can't see how this can be any plainer. I don't know how the written word of God could be any clearer. Man is to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Man is not to live according to the words of men. Beyond this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Men are not to be in the business of telling other men what they can and cannot do, where they can go and where they cannot go, how they can work and how they can't work. I'm actually a little surprised that someone hasn't asked me about the relationship between children and their parents. Dads tell their children all the time what they can and can't do, where they can go and where they can't go. At least dads are supposed to do that. Well, yes, and when I was growing up living at home, my dad could tell me what to do and what I was expected to obey. But that was my dad telling me what to do. That wasn't my dad telling everyone else's kids what to do, let alone that wasn't my dad telling all the other dads what to do. That's not the same as men calling themselves, quote, government, and demanding that everyone live the way that they say to live. Okay, I don't want to live in a 15-minute city. I don't want to be forced to drive an electric vehicle. I don't want everything in my life tracked and recorded. I don't want to pay for things that are diametrically opposed to the way God said things should be. I don't believe in their fake globe and their fake NASA and their fake space travel and their fake evolution and their fake stars that are trillions and trillions of miles away. I don't believe in their, quote, public school system. I don't believe in taking hard-earned money, for lack of a better word, away from people without their consent to fund all sorts of projects and things that I don't agree with. Hey, the God-ordained government that I'm required to submit to is the one that punishes evil and praises good according to the exclusive definitions of good and evil, right and wrong, as defined by God and God alone. The corporations and agencies and departments that make up the kingdoms of the world are not ordained of God. They are the exact same things that Christ came against in Matthew chapter 4, and Christians are not to participate with them, just exactly the way Christ refused to and was our example. Verse 5. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Everything I said about the kingdoms of the world, okay, ditto that for the man-made religions of the world, the quote churches, the temples, the synagogues, the dioceses. Matthew chapter 4 tells us that Satan's and devils operate those too. Verse 7, Jesus said unto him, is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. You know, it's truly been a fascinating transformation that people have been so persuaded to accept and believe that the kingdoms of the world, shown here so clearly as being possessed by the devil, that somehow those exact same kingdoms have become God-ordained, and that people are to submit to them and obey them or die. How is this even possible? The only explanation is that their minds are possessed by something other than being possessed, owned by the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you, the mind of Christ. We're to have the mind of Christ, the mind that rejected the kingdoms of the world and was committed exclusively to the words of God. Now, to where we left off last week. There's a story in our Bibles that, like many other stories in there, in my opinion, have got far deeper understandings than what appears to be on the surface. I just don't believe that the Bible is a book just for bedtime stories for the kiddies. Okay? The following is a great example. Turn to Mark chapter 5 and begin with verse 1. And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. First of all, we need to realize that this text tells us about a man. Okay, this is a man who had an unclean spirit. And the text says that this man had an unclean spirit. Now, before our minds run off into Hollywood, thinking about the movie The Exorcist or Amityville Horror or Damien, we better stop for a minute and think about this word unclean. Okay, just like so many other words in our Bibles, we've got to go to the beginning of the book to find proper meanings. The word unclean has already been found in our Bibles more than 200 times prior to this Mark chapter 5, and it refers to simply not obeying the laws God gave Moses. It's not some new understanding that was developed by Hollywood or by some Catholic priest. Okay, look at Strong's. Akathartos. It means not cleansed, unclean, in a ceremonial sense. That which must be abstained from according to the Levitical law, in a moral sense, unclean in thought and life. Okay, the text is not talking about man's ideas concerning what, quote, demon possession is. Impure, ceremonially, morally, lewd, or specifically. And it says that those things are demonic, foul, unclean. From Mr. Thayer. Not cleansed, unclean, in a ceremonial sense. That which must be abstained from according to the Levitical law, lest impurity be contracted. Of food. Of things pertaining to idolatry. Of birds. Of sorcery, Revelation 18:2, in a moral sense, unclean in thought and life. Hey, we're not talking about spinning heads here. But it's called demons and bad angels. Okay, and he goes on and gives a bunch of different Bible verses to look at. And then spirit. It's the rational soul. It's a man's being, his thoughts, his beliefs, the rational soul within a man that causes him to live this way or that way. Okay, there's no great mystery here. This is not talking about Hollywood or mystical, quote, churchism. Because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. I'm thinking more of Ernest T. Bass here from the Andy Griffith Show. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him. Now, for those of you who've heard me preach for many years, you know that I rarely go off with my own ideas about passages of the Bible. But I do say that we're constantly to look for the principles involved in all the stories, whether those stories are to be taken literally, actually, or whether they are for the principles. It's the principles that we're to gather from all the stories. And this, I believe, is the same thing. It's my personal belief. You can take it or leave it. But it's my personal belief that this is talking about the kingdoms of the world and the fact that Christ was getting ready to bring them down, to take away their dominion, to take away their control of the people. Just like in Matthew 4, where the devil was trying to win Christ over to the kingdoms of the world and they lost. Here too is a struggle for the kingdoms of the world, a last-ditch effort, if you will. This man in this story represents the kingdoms of the world. Now watch. And he cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." For he said unto him, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." And he asked him, "What is thy name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." He said his name was Legion. Okay, of all the names that God could have chosen to have this man's name recorded as for all of history, for all the rest of the time, why the name Legion? Okay, this is what I believe is the significance here. The link is in the notes. Quote, "The Roman Legion was the largest military unit of the Roman army, composed of Roman citizens serving as legionnaires. During the Roman Republic, the manipular legion comprised 4,200 infantry and 300 cavalry. After the Marian reforms in 107 BC, the legions were formed of 5,200 men and were restructured around 10 cohorts, the first cohort being double strength. This structure persisted throughout the Principate and Middle Empire before further changes in the 4th century resulted in new formations of around 1,000 men," end quote. This passage is not talking about Sally Fields playing Norma Ray in a movie about a woman being possessed by multiple demons. Okay, this story is about Jesus casting out, whether it was literal or whether it was figurative. It's about Jesus casting out the kingdoms of the world, which was symbolized by the Roman army called Legion, which is also called devils in other places in our Bible. Keep going, verse 10. "And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, 'Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them.' And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. And they came to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coasts. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. There are people who believe this whole story is just a fable. They don't believe that this story is to be taken literally. I'm not one of those. I tend to believe that the story actually happened like the text says. But the story is used to establish a principle. And that principle is, again, that Christ brought down the kingdoms of the world and now requires everyone to enter into his government. It is, I believe, no coincidence that the devils were forced into swine, and then the swine ran into the sea and were choked. It is no coincidence that the animal chosen was swine. Strong says that the swine was an uncertain derivative of a hog. It is also no coincidence, then, that one of the emblems of the Roman Roman legion was a boar, a hog, a swine. In our Bibles, devils, demons, Satans, serpents, and dragons are used as symbols of man's governments, the kingdoms of the world. I started this series in showing that the word devil in the very beginning passages of our Bibles was used to refer to kings that were not of God. The kingdoms of the world are kingdoms, they're governments that are not of God. In the law God gave Moses, the most abominable animal discussed is the swine, the pig, the hog, the boar. It's called unclean. In the Mark 5 story, we see unclean, that which was not cleansed by the law God gave Moses. Foreign kings, kings that did not come under the law God gave Moses, they were called devils. All of this is intertwined. I found this interesting quote concerning the Mark 5 passage. This is only an excerpt. I haven't read the whole document. I mean, for all I know, the whole rest of it may be total garbage. But I did find this one quote interesting. I'm going to share it with you this morning. This is from William Harwood, writes in Mythology's Last Gods, quote, "Since the fall of the city a few months earlier in 70, and he says CE, yeah, which is fine. Jerusalem had been occupied by the Roman 10th Legion, ex Fretensis, whose emblem was a pig. Mark's reference to about 2,000 pigs, the size of the occupying legion, combined with his blatant designation of the evil beings as legion, left no doubt in Jewish minds that the pigs in the fable represented the army of occupation. Mark's fable, in effect, promised that the Messiah, when he returned, would drive the Romans into the sea, as he had earlier driven their four-legged surrogates." End quote. Why would that story, or that conclusion, be hard to understand among Israelites? Well, was there another time in the history of Israel that God destroyed the representatives, an army, and their leader, destroyed the representatives of the kingdoms of the world, along with their army and their leader in the sea? Was there another time where God led the representative of man's, quote, government to their destruction in the sea? Well, of course, Egypt, being one of the biggest examples of the kingdoms of the world in our Bibles. Egypt, a great enslaver of God's people. And God, by Moses, led his people out of that kingdom of the world to the promised land, where they could again have the opportunity to live according to the exclusive laws of God. This story from Mark 5 is another comparison to the history of Israel. Okay, God sent Moses to deliver his people from the kingdoms of the world. And in Mark 5, now it's Christ. Now it's the Messiah that is sent to deliver God's people from the kingdoms of the world. At first it was Egypt, later it was Babylon, now it was Rome. Christ, the great deliverer of them all, delivering God's people from the kingdoms of the world. Listen, friends, I realize, just like you do, that this world is an entire state of deception right now. And when you think about it, if you dwell on it, it can be overwhelming. But what we all need to realize is that it is our responsibility, each and every one of us, to God today. Look, it's not to change the world. Our job today is to make sure that we, each and every one of us, are working on a change in each of us. The world won't change if we don't change. One by one, we all must commit to making sure that we stay true to the government of God. We're all commanded to come out of the kingdoms of men, and we know that the kingdoms of men have an incredible stronghold on the world today. But we, each one of us, need to be focused on what we can control, and that is our individual lives. We must be committed to following Christ, to following the Shepherd, having our minds possessed by the good, by the right. And no matter what whether the rest of the world is interested or not, we must stay true and focused on the only God-ordained government in the world today, and that is the government of God.
You've been listening to God Send Us Men Ministries with evangelist and missionary to America, Charlie Stewart. To contact us or to read and listen to more teachings online for free, visit godsendusmen.com.